You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
This radio drama, There Is Hope, comes to you as a special Easter presentation from the Lutheran Hour. In a few minutes, after you've heard how Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, I'll be back to tell you about the most important event in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus himself from the dead with power.
Hello. Today, the Christian world is remembering the most important week the world has ever seen. You may have learned to call it Holy Week, because it belongs to the Lord Jesus in a special way. We, my family and I, knew Jesus. Of course, we were not the only ones who knew him, but our experience was special. He shared with us many of the good days and the bad, and we lived close enough to Jerusalem to see the pain and ugliness of his crucifixion. But we also saw the glory of his Easter resurrection, which proved to people of every age that Jesus is indeed the victorious Lord of all, who can save all people by his power over death and sin. But our story begins before that great day, when Lazarus, my brother, told me that a guest was coming for dinner. I suppose he always presumed that my sister Mary and I could set extra places on short notice.
Martha, I've got a surprise for you. Someone special is coming for dinner.
That's not much of a surprise. Lazarus, God has helped. Mother gave you a good name. You're always trying to help somebody.
This one is different. In some ways, he is in need, like so many of the others. But there's more to him. I think he's a great man, but he has no home of his own. He depends on the hospitality of ordinary people like ourselves. He seems to care about everyday people and to enjoy being with them. And yet there is nobody who has listened to him who thinks that he is ordinary.
Well, this sounds like an interesting guest.
I want him to be welcome here any time.
And so he was. In fact, Jesus seemed to enjoy taking refuge in our home, which was not far from the busy city of Jerusalem. On one occasion, though, my sister Mary sat and listened to Jesus all day as he spoke to several of his followers in our house. It was something of a bad day for me, but I learned an important lesson when I let my hurt feelings speak.
The time I am speaking of will be here soon. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, the Son of Man must be lifted up, so all may have eternal life.
Sir, forgive me for interrupting.
What's this?
A woman interrupting Jesus?
It's no trouble at all, Martha. What's on your mind?
I know my sister Mary treasures what you're saying, but doesn't it bother you that she lets me do all the work alone? Please excuse her and tell her to help me.
Martha?
It's only right that she should help in the kitchen.
Martha, Martha. So that's what troubles you. You're always very thoughtful, and you've been working very hard to make us comfortable. This is no small group I bring with me, is it? Hospitality is good, but one thing is truly necessary, and Mary has chosen that better part. It can never be taken away from her. Perhaps you, too, should be more concerned with those things that last forever. Why don't you join us for a while?
Forget the kitchen for now.
Yes. Listen to the Mass.
Jesus is right, Martha. Let Mary stay, and you stay here and listen, too. There will be time enough to serve meals later, but now we are being served.
Yes, Martha. Jesus is going to have to leave soon to go on to other towns. His message is for them, too. We may not hear from him for a long time.
Lazarus explained to me later when we were alone why Mary was worried about Jesus. Already there were those who saw an enemy in Jesus. To them, he seemed to be dangerous. So many were listening to him, and his travels across the country had developed a tremendous following.
I'm glad, in a way, that he is gone. Away from Judea, he will be in less danger. I have heard that some influential people are even saying Jesus must be eliminated. What worries me is that he has made his worst enemies in Jerusalem. Some politically minded rulers would rather see Jesus dead than that the whole nation should attract the wrong kind of attention from the Romans.
But he is not leading any rebellion.
Some people hope he will, and others are trying to figure out a way to use him to help make us an independent nation again. That worries me.
Right now, I'm even more worried about you, Lazarus. I noticed you didn't even see Jesus off on his travels this time. You don't look well.
Martha, I don't feel well. I didn't want to say anything about it, since I know you're a worrier. And Jesus has enough to think about without being bothered about minor illnesses. My little sickness will pass.
But of course, it didn't pass. Lazarus didn't improve. No one expected that the disease would carry him off so quickly. Mary and I sent a friend to Jesus with the bad news when Lazarus took a turn for the worse.
Look for him wherever he has gone, and tell him of Lazarus' sickness. If he can, I'm sure he'll come to Bethany.
Yes, Mary. I'll reach him as quickly as I can.
Don't get your hopes up, Mary. It may be impossible to find Jesus in time. The authorities are looking for an opportunity to arrest him, and it may not be best for him to come.
Oh, Martha, I know he will. He has healed so many before. I know he'll do the same for our brother.
When the messenger finally found Jesus, he was days away from our town. Against the advice and wishes of his followers, Jesus came to Bethany, but there was even worse news when he arrived.
Sir, you are too late. Our brother is dead. If only you'd been here, I don't think he would have died.
Martha, the illness couldn't be stopped. Let's not blame Jesus. He was Lazarus' friend.
You're right. I'm sorry, Master. None of us had enough warning. If only there could have been more time.
Your brother will rise again, Martha.
I know he will in the great resurrection on the last day. You've spoken of it often. We all hope for that.
I have told you both before. I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live. Take me to your family tomb.
Jesus cried at the sight of the grave, now with the large stone across the entrance, as it had been for several days. We buried our dead much sooner than most of you do today, so I presume that it was the fact that he was too late for funeral prayers that made Jesus weep. What happened next has never left my memory.
This is the family tomb, sir. We had thought it would be years before it would be used for one of us.
Take away the stone.
Oh, no! He's been buried for 4 days already. There's no point in disturbing things now. The law prohibits...
Martha, let it be. This is the Son of God. I know it is the right thing to do. Move the stone, dear friends, so our Master may say his prayers over his friend. Look, Martha. He is already lifting his hands to heaven in prayer.
Lazarus, come forth.
There he is. It's Lazarus, our brother.
He's risen.
He is alive.
Jesus must be the Messiah.
Untie the wrappings and let him go. If anyone believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. As I live, you will live also.
This was our great day with Jesus. In a way, it was a kind of preview of something more important, which is not just for us, but for you as well. Those who wanted to be rid of Jesus had their day. You probably know some of the familiar story. The soldiers arrest Jesus. He is taken from one court to another, while one governor, who should have known better, said, I wash my hands of this. All of Jesus' closest followers deserted him while he endured the terrible cross.
But he did not desert them. The Almighty Father raised him from the dead for his own glory and our good. I know that death will claim me again. What Jesus did for me is a kind of sign that points to him and his greater Easter day.
He is alive and will be our Savior and ruler forever.
He is the hope of the world for us all.
There is hope, despite the desperation that leads to despair, and the death that people sense leads to a terrifying who knows where. There is hope. The hope is there, in Lazarus, raised from the dead, and even more in Jesus, the one who raised him from the dead. A new power has come into the world. A new power has been let loose upon the world. It is the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Without Jesus, death would be the end of the world's story. Resurrection is the last and best hope our world has. Better, much better than any other hope for the salvation of the world. Jesus is not a dream, a vision, a mythical character. He's a real man. Altogether human. In his humanity, God has wrapped the person of his only and unique Son. In Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. He has committed to us this word of reconciliation. In Jesus, there is hope, hope of resurrection to life eternal. Jesus gives hope before the grave and beyond the grave. The grave is not everything. As St. Paul said, I know that the same God who brought the Lord Jesus back from death will also bring us back to life again with Jesus, to present us to him along with you. This word is just as human can be, and it is the promise of God, as only his promise can be. Other promises fail, but the promise of God does not fail. This sophisticated and intellectual age has trouble believing that. Before the days of Columbus, the motto for one of the nations of Europe was the Latin phrase, non plus ultra, which means nothing more beyond. Everyone at the time believed that the Atlantic Ocean was the edge of the world. Then came the discovery of the New World. The motto was no longer any good. Now it had to be plus ultra, which means more to come. Without the promise of Easter, life could and probably would be described as non plus ultra. There's nothing more beyond. Then came the resurrection of Jesus, foreshadowed by the resurrection of Lazarus, for millions of people throughout the world. There's a new hope that can be described as plus ultra. There is more to come, a lot more. St. Paul said of Jesus, he's the first. The first of all who have fallen asleep with faith in God who raised him from the dead. The first fruits he is of a harvest even now coming in. Lazarus was not the first fruit. Jesus was. Lazarus, a friend of Jesus and the brother of Mary and Martha, was resurrected from the dead to demonstrate the power of Jesus through all of human life with forgiveness for sin and victory over death. Even then, Lazarus still had to wait, as all of us do, for the full glory of that moment when faith in Jesus is turned into sight and hope is turned into reality. That will be the day of resurrection and glory to life eternal. The body of Lazarus came back to life after he had been in the grave for 4 days. His sister Martha cautioned about what people might find. Jesus said, take away the stone. Then he called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came out with the grave clothes still around him. Jesus said, take them off and let him go. Nobody could question that day the power of Jesus to raise the dead. In fact, we're told the raising of Lazarus was one of the reasons for getting rid of Jesus. Leaders of the establishment were saying of this remarkable event, the whole populace will be following him. Shortly after, Jesus himself died for the sins of the world. The third day, he was raised again from the dead. As usual, people were arguing about the case of the missing body. Crucifixion is easier to understand. Resurrection is hard to take. People cannot believe that there is hope. Certainly hope which is more than, I hope that it won't rain tomorrow when the family is going on a picnic. St. Paul held forth more than a wish that may or may not come true when he pointed to the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, having the spirit of faith and loving the scripture which says, I have come to faith and therefore have come to speak. We also believe, said Paul, and therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us together with Jesus and will put us right alongside Jesus together with you. That's faith talking. Faith talks as a little boy talked in front of a store window in Chicago to a man who just happened to be standing there looking at a beautiful picture of the crucifixion. The boy seemed so enchanted by the picture that the man could not resist asking him, Do you know what that picture means? Don't you know? The little fellow asked, surprised at what he thought was the grown man's ignorance. That there man is Jesus, and the others are Roman soldiers, and the woman that's crying is his mother, and he died to save us. Thanks, son, the man said as he turned away. You really know the story. In a moment, the man heard little footsteps behind him, and the boy came rushing up. Say, mister, the little fellow exclaimed breathlessly, I forgot to tell you. He rose from the dead a couple of days later. There you have it. That's the whole story. Jesus died for us all, and Jesus rose from the dead for us all. Jesus lives for us all. He offers hope to all. Hope before the grave and hope beyond the grave. Hope that does not disappoint and makes not ashamed. The good news of Jesus is that there is hope for the hopeless. There's hope in Jesus when other helpers fail. Nothing is hopeless when Jesus is around. In death there is hope. In the spirit of faith and loving the scripture we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also together with Jesus and put us right alongside Jesus in his very presence with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus said to Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Jesus says to you today, I'm the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus calls you not to some vague hope or other, but to the sure hope of life eternal. There is not enough affliction, enough stupidity, enough hostility, and enough ignorance in the world to overwhelm and destroy the glimmer of hope, of something better, of a new power that will give life instead of wiping it out. An old hulk of a ship was stuck in the mud of a river. All efforts to raise it had failed. Someone noticed that the river was affected by the tide. At low tide, he harnessed an empty barge to the old hulk with strong chains and cables. Slowly and surely, the waters came flooding in, and the great lifting power of the ocean surged under that barge and broke it loose from the mud. Something like that happens to people linked to the power of God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. St. Paul called it the word of faith. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved with faith and love toward Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. People feel the surge of God's Holy Spirit lifting them out of the mud of their sins and follies and defeats, giving them hope in Christ and in the power of God that raised Christ from the dead. Whoever you are, life is not over. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus lives. There's hope, hope of life that can truly be called eternal. Amen.